Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean, on a sunny Sunday afternoon. Danny, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Sean. You know, one of my favorite things is when people falsely attribute quotes to famous people.
The biggest conspiracy one is that Ben Franklin said that God made beer to make men happy.
Not so much that, more along the lines of don't trust anything you read on the internet, Abraham Lincoln.
I mean, Abe Lincoln was just way ahead of his time. I mean, I believe that quote.
So I heard a new one that you might appreciate.
Lay it on me, man.
It was possibly attributed to Sigmund Freud.
Mm-hmm.
The quote is, "Roll Tide."
That's funny.
For those that don't know, "Roll Tide" is the battle cry for the University of Alabama's sports teams. We'll let you do the math there with Sigmund Freud and Alabama. Oh man, Sean, I'm getting. I know I didn't start the show off super classy, but my beer is. That's why I had to counterbalance the force, Sean.
Gotcha. Because you better hurry, because that mic, like my beer, it's gonna take me like a minute to explain this beer that I got. So go ahead.
I think it'll take me a while to explain mine too.
we got some fancy ass shit going today.
Like, if you look on the Instagram page, I will definitely post the one I have, and if Sean posts his on his, then I'll just repost it. But I bought mine as a Italian barley wine called Le Ultima Luna.
Hmm, interesting.
By the brewery's name is, I'm going to attempt to slaughter some Italian here, Birrificio del Ducato. It's aged in for 24 months in wine barrels. It's from 2010. And I read a review on Untappd. Someone was like, wow, this tastes like this is a few years old. No shit. But I have bottle number 223 out of 900.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty amazing considering that there's over 1,600 check-ins on Untappd. I mean, you can just definitely smell the wine. And people were complaining that it's like too wine forward or whatever. And I'm like, well,
it's too winey.
Yes. Like the millennial of beers, apparently.
Wow. That seems a little harsh.
I said apparently.
You need to get your Gen X out of here. I'm getting real sick of your shit.
Well, you know, people complain that millennials are too... I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying it's a thing people say. So, the description of Untappd is, barley wine aged for at least 36 months in Amarone wine casks, intense coppery color with red reflections. The nose is extraordinarily rich and complex, gives off the aromas of wild berries, vanilla, and raisins with hints of underbrush and reminiscent Venus. The taste is warm, full-bodied, and without carbonation.
Hmm, nice.
And it's very much like, that was like a little bit of bubbles when I poured it into the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And the color is just like really, it's almost like a coppery brown.
Oh, really?
But it's actually really good. I can actually smell the berries and stuff and the wine. I feel classy, man. I think I'm gonna drink this pinkies out, dude. Pinkies out.
Pinkies out all the way, bro. All the way.
So what you got, Sean?
From Jackie O's Brewing from Athens, Ohio. So the party, basically where the big party school is. I have a bottle from the Brandy Barrel series. So this one is called Black Falls. It's got some awesome artwork. It's always cool looking at some kind of weird demon playing a violin with butterflies, like, or moss flying around, right?
Nice.
This is an Imperial Porter brewed with spicebush and conditioned on vanilla and aged in apple brandy barrels and bourbon barrels. So this comes in at a whopping 13.5%.
I didn't even look at the alcohol content. Oh, mine's 13.0. You win this round, ooh. Sean.
Ooh, man, that is definitely... This is definitely an Imperial Porter. I'll give you that.
Yeah, Jackie O's is a brewery that I had mentioned to you after hearing on another podcast if you had had any of their beers. Because mm-hmm. I heard that was like one of the new hots out in Ohio.
I mean, it's... I've seen their stuff around. I just haven't really... I just haven't really tried to grab their stuff. I always see like their basic stuff, but usually like you gotta do something for me. Like if I'm picking a bomber up, like I'll spend $30 on a bomber, but you gotta make that shit fancy. You gotta make me put my pinky out, want to drink it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I know they had like this weekend they had a special release of a couple of their barrel aged beers that people stand in line for forever.
See, I'm just trying to see, like, what flavors I get. Like, there's some spice, and you definitely get the barrel. You definitely get, like, bourbon barrel, and I assume that there's brandy in there. The brandy barrel flavor's coming through, too. It definitely gets a lot smoother after a few drinks. Like, the first one is, like, you're just, like, punched in the face, but then you're, like, your palate starts to, like, just go, like, lay down and just say, okay, continue to abuse me. But it's pretty solid. I do like this one. It definitely, like I said, it's a little crazy up front, but your palate settles down pretty quickly. But I definitely give it a 4.0 on Untappd. Follow me at DrDoom2828.
Dr. Doom 28. Why 2828, Sean?
I don't remember. I think it was a random number I made up a long time ago.
Okay. At least it wasn't
42069. Nice.
Nice.
No, there's no history behind 2828. It's just a random series.
Okay.
So.
Well, so that makes sense why nobody else would have it then.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
So this weekend, Sean, apparently was like one of the peak anniversary weekends in the Orange County area for breweries. Unsung Brewing and Chapman Crafted Ales mm-hmm. both were celebrating their anniversary.
Aw, how cute.
It was sweet. So luckily, I had plans in that area that evening out to the Orange County Fair. And Unsung and Chapman made it. Opened especially just for me, you know, because like Chapman, they opened the doors at 10:30 in the morning so that I could go by there. And I had one of their beers called Pass the Fruit.
Yeah.
It's a passion fruit gosa.
Oh, wow.
Like you could just drinking it, like you could just smell the salt. Like you before you even got it, like just smelling it, you can smell it was like salty fruit. And I had my wife take a drink of it, and she said that it was like drinking the ocean.
Better than sunscreen, like the new Red Bull, whatever that ocean one is. It tastes like sunscreen lotion.
Sweet, I guess.
No, not sweet. It was terrible. They need to bring back the grapefruit for like two summers ago. You're stop fucking up.
You don't like the taste of pina coladas?
I don't like the taste of sunscreen. It's not very pleasant.
Well, I guess I should say chemical pina colada.
Exactly. I was swimming in water polo quite often. I definitely remember the vivid taste of quickly applying sunscreen and immediately jumping into the pool for practice and regretting the decision of not letting it dry out properly.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you played water polo and you distinctly remember the taste of sunscreen lingering on the lips of your teammate as you finished making out with them.
I'd never make out with them. I just gently kiss their body.
Oh, okay. So all foreplay?
Exactly.
Or no foreplay? Sorry, Sean's mom.
You're not sorry. Stop apologizing. Getting real sick of this apologizing shit.
It's like that episode of The Simpsons. I apologize all the time and don't mean it. Fart? That's not the. That's not a nice thing to say. Sorry, Mom. Oh, it's okay. See, Mom? It works. But then, you know, I've had this kind of, like, a thought crossing through my mind for a while, and I think it's being was confirmed to me a little more yesterday.
What?
Because in addition to drinking their Pass the Fruit, I also tried their Kona, mm-hmm. which was a coffee porter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like coffee. I don't think I like porters and stouts anymore, Sean.
I think you're just a big fool then, because I don't know what you did with my friend. Even though we're not really friends, but bring back the old Daniel.
Your podcast co-host?
Yeah. Bring him back from episode one. He was a good guy then. Well, he wasn't really a good guy, but he was something.
He was there.
He was more tolerable. There we go. That's what I was looking for.
He was definitely there. You can't say that about him now, but we could then. Of all the things he did, being there was all of them. No, because, I mean, it was good. Like, I just got a little small taste, like, the taster size, basically, and, you know, I mean, I can smell the coffee, I can taste the coffee, but I think I've evolved, Sean. Like, just like a shitty Pokemon where, like, you don't really want to evolve it because their stats are pretty good, and then you evolve it, and they're, like, just get shittier.
Mm-hmm.
That's me, Sean.
Oh, is it now?
I think between, like, the Lambic Sours and the barley wines, Sean, my tastes are evolving.
You're just more pathetic.
I'm not gonna argue that one. You're not wrong. So, you know, finished up there, and then we went over to Chapman Crafted Ales, which is right there at the block at Orange.
Mm-hmm.
And they had what they called a block party. So I envisioned a portion, if not a chunk of street, to be blocked off.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's what block party implies.
Yeah.
No, it was all, their quote-unquote block party was all contained within the, I guess, the block that is their property that they have fenced off. They had, like, a barbecue place and somebody else serving food, and then they had a beef jerky place, and then they had somebody selling popsicles.
Gotcha.
And then they had, like, four... But they also had, like, four, like, setups of bars because they had so many beers.
Yeah.
And most of them were just, like, kind of variants. So they had, like, their double IPA, but they had, like, a coffee version, a raspberry version. So I was just going to go in and get, like, some beers, but I found out that they weren't serving taster sizes. Gotcha. You could only order... You all right?
Yeah. I said gotcha.
But they were only serving... full pints, or for the low price of $25, you could get a third anniversary glass, the taster glass size, with 10 drink tickets. I wasn't going to do that at first, but then I saw all the beers, and I'm like, all right, fine, I guess you suckered me in. You win this time.
I was going to say, you said low price, like it wasn't really a spectacular thing.
Well, like at first I saw it, I was like, I don't really want to, like, I don't need another glass, and I'm not going to drink... I don't think I was going to drink $25 worth of beer at first. And then I walked around and saw the setup, and I went back out and made the purchase.
I didn't think I was drinking 5 pints last night, but whew, I proved myself wrong.
Yeah, somebody made a meme of a scene out of the Lord of the Rings where it's Frodo and Sam, and Sam's like, hey, do you want to have one beer? It's like 8 p.m. Do you want to have a beer with me? And Frodo's like, yeah, sure, I'll have a beer. And then it's like 4 a.m. and Sam's carrying Frodo.
Well, you know what the tricky part is? Is like, you get, I was at my watering hole casual pint that's conveniently off Secor Road, all through all the construction in Toledo.
Isn't it the whole state of Ohio, according to that Cleveland tourism song?
I mean, the fact that one of the major roads is still tore up after, like, months, like, just for the second year in a row is just so, so wonderful. Did you want to go to all these great shopping places you need to get to? Let's make sure that we screw it up for you for the next 2 years.
The road's so nice they have to repair it twice.
Exactly.
Well, at least you're not living through the apocalypse of living where you used to live, Sean. So they're like, this last weekend was weekend number 2 of 8 weekends in a row where they have the 60 eastbound closed for the whole weekend from Friday night at 10 p.m. till Monday morning at 5 a.m. Nice. And then they're going to take Labor Day off, followed by 7 weekends of the 60 westbound closed from Friday 10 p.m. to Monday at 5 a.m.
Nice.
Yes.
That should be a fun time in that area. Yes.
Always. So, at the brewery, I ended up going through sampling a handful of beers. I ended up, like, being kind of responsible because I knew I was going to the fair afterwards, so I ended up giving out some of my taster tickets to people that I saw where there was, like, a couple, but they only bought one of the VIPs.
Yeah.
They could also pay for the taster pours after. I had, like, their coffee hazy IPA that was pretty good. I had one of their fruited sours with raspberry. And I also did something I'd never done before, Sean. I had a fruit beer slushy.
Oh, I was going to ask if you were going to finally give somebody a reach around and be respectful, but okay.
Never that. Never that. It's all for me, Sean.
Oh, I know. All for you.
Wait. You say that. You know, huh? What happens in San Francisco stays in San Francisco?
And New York. Portland.
And Seattle. Your own house in Ohio. And soon to be Denver at your dad's house.
Oh, good times.
But yeah, I was like, I wasn't necessarily boycotting it. It's just I had not yet been to a brewery where they decided to slushy up their sour beer.
Interesting.
And I see Facebook posts. There's a brewery like in Colorado, but too far away probably for us to go when we make it to Great American Beer Fest because it's in a place called Greenlee, Colorado.
Yeah, I don't know where that is.
It seemed further than a Uber ride would want it to be. But I will say, Sean, it's actually quite amazing on a hot day.
Sour slushy?
Yes, it was still like six and a half, it was like whatever the alcohol beer, like 6.5%, but it was in slurpy form.
Nice.
You know, it's like one of those things, if you put it in the correct glass, you can just be respectful and respected and walking down the street. It's like, oh, look, that guy's drinking an icy of some sort, not a beer.
Oh.
And then, I didn't do it yet, Sean, but I have this idea. I'm gonna buy a one of the fancy water bottles. Mm-hmm. I lost the name of it in my head. You know what I'm talking about, like the metal ones that all these hipsters are carrying around?
Yeah.
I'm going to buy one of those just so I can carry beer with me everywhere I go. And it'll always stay cold.
Nice.
But yeah, so I ended up going to the fair, still kind of buzzed. And so I ended up getting a canned mango michelada.
A what?
They have like a prepackaged mango michelada. It's like basically Golden Road and a michelada company like got together and had a baby.
All right, that sounds interesting. I really want to try that slushy though.
At the one brewery I said about, it's called Wiley Roots. They actually got went so far as to put their slushies in basically Capri Sun style containers so that you could buy them and take them to go and drink them at home like adult. Frozen Capri Suns.
That sounds like a good time.
It is, man. speaking of good times, Sean, I think this might be something, if it worked, that we would need. Amazon has a listing for a shock bracelet. It's the brand. The name of the company that sells it is Pavlok. And basically, I didn't see how, if you programmed it or what, but basically, like, anytime, like, you can program it to reinforce a behavior, and anytime you do that behavior, it shocks you.
I feel like this is a tool for people that like pain.
Right? And, like, reading the reviews, there was, like, 35% 5-star and, like, 29% 1-star. There wasn't much, like, in between.
either you understood the point of the bracelet or you didn't understand the point of the bracelet.
Well, no, it was either like, this is the best thing ever, or it stopped working after 2 weeks, or it fell apart after like a couple days.
How many times did you get shocked at where it exploded and ended?
Right. I think I would program it so that anytime I like watched porn, figure out a way so that it would shock me and then just wrap it around my junk.
Is that what you really want? You just get electrocuted? I don't know. That doesn't sound very pleasant. I don't know what kind of weird shit you're into. You're starting to stray. You're getting further and further from the light.
I mean, they do have those, like, vibrating cock rings, but I think that's supposed to be more for about her pleasure, or your the other his pleasure and not your pleasure.
The other him.
I'm just saying. I'm not going to judge. No judging here.
There's no judging. We'll judge each other, but that's about it.
Yeah, we'll judge each other. We won't judge you. And by you, I mean the one or two listeners left. But yeah, somebody I'm Facebook friends with posted it, and I posed the question, you know, because it was like for eating fast food or making stupid purchases, it will shock you. And I said, if you purchase this and put it on, will it immediately shock you for making the purchase of this stupid item?
How does it know that you purchased the stupid item? Are you going to let Amazon look at your bank account to tell you, like, hey, you purchased Burger King?
I guess maybe you can, like, right, exactly, or the bracelet company, right. Or, like, if you tie it to your Amazon account and anytime you buy anything from Amazon, it shocks you.
I don't think Amazon's like, I don't know if I like this.
Right.
We need people to make stupid purchases.
That's how we all get fed. And by we, I mean the owners and stockholders, not the employees.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no food for them.
You don't have time, because if they stop to eat, then their numbers will go down.
It'll be bad.
And even worse, even if they stop to eat or drink, then they might have to go to the bathroom, too.
Ah, bastards.
And then their numbers go down.
They think they're going to get time to eat?
Yes. Sean.
Daniel.
We're at a great time to be alive. After 13 years, Tool is finally releasing a new album.
Are they really?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
August 30th is the date of release.
Oh, okay.
And they've been playing two songs. Whenever they basically alternating between two songs whenever they do live shows. And so I guess you could go on YouTube and watch somebody sitting in the back row at a place make a recording with their cell phone so you can hear the song.
Oh, so they have... That's terrible.
Yes. Or you could do what most normal people do and just wait. And on last week, Tool finally officially released its first single from its new album.
I didn't even realize this. Now I'm kind of like sad that I don't know what's going on. I'm not even getting time to listen to it. I don't listen to the radio, man.
Well, I literally sent you the song.
Did you really?
Yes.
I just remember you sending me an article. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, man.
Apparently
I don't exist.
Yeah, I don't see anything. I just have Apex. I don't have anything else, bro. You lied to me. Oh, fuck, there it is. Damn it. It was mixed in with a bunch of other shit I wasn't looking at. Oh, wow. I really fucked up this week. See, I thought I saw the Apex and I thought it was good. I didn't realize I needed to scroll up more. Damn.
Scroll past the first thing.
I was wondering why I wasn't so sure. I did so much extra stuff this week and only to be let down in a different area.
Well, I don't think you're the one that was let down, Sean.
Can you be let down though? I thought you had no expectations.
Well, I mean, I thought I had no expectations, and yet I continually get let down every week. Like I set my expectations lower and lower every week, and somehow you still manage to hit the bar.
It's a skill. It's just a skill that you just can't compete with, bud. That's all I have to say.
Like my expectations for you aren't even, like, the limbo. It's more like the high jump. And, like, at this point now, it's like there's this video of this little bulldog puppy, like, who's inside and the owner's outside, and they're trying to get the dog to, like, basically make the step over the railing for the sliding glass door.
Yeah.
And the dog, like...
fucks up and trips.
Like, winds up. Like, he's, like, bound. bouncing and like getting ready to jump, and then he finally goes over and his leg hits it and he stumbles. Yes.
I mean, honestly, that dog had a lot more ambition than I did. I wouldn't even been like, I would have just tried to walk over. There was no wind up for me.
Right, but still, you wouldn't have made it, is my point.
Fair enough. So how did you like the song, Danny?
We can also pause for 6 minutes and let you listen. Actually, it's a 10-minute song, so I don't know if
Jesus,
I have that patience for you right now.
That's a lot. That's a long song.
I mean, it's a Tool song, so it's the average length.
That is true.
Of a Tool song. Well, maybe on the high end, but because they're normally like 6 or 7 minutes long, but yes.
See, that's the nice thing. Like, I liked listening to Tool at work, because, like, it would be, like, you could listen to, like, it was such a long song that you would actually, like, forget about how long it's been while you were working. So when it's finally over, like, time just passes so much faster.
Yeah, I know. I saw them play a show years ago, because I'm old, at the Glass House in Pomona.
Yeah.
And Maynard was like, this is going to be our last song. And the crowd was like, oh, boo. And he's like, seriously, guys? He's like, we're not Green Day. This is going to be more than 3 minutes. For all you know, it's going to be like a 20-minute long song.
That is true.
And so I timed it just to see. And sure enough, Maynard's stubborn ass played the song Third Eye off the Anima album, which was what they're kind of doing the pre-tour for.
Yeah.
And they stretched that song out to like 19 minutes and change.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yes, that's what she said. So, you know, I was after listening to the song, I went on, because I saw it on Reddit, and I was going through expecting to hear people like just shitting on it, because that's what Tool fans do. To the point where even Maynard James called them insufferable twats.
That's fair.
And surprisingly, there wasn't as much hate for the song as I was expecting. To me, like, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the song Eulogy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like just in some of the chords and whatever, but it's really mellow. It doesn't necessarily feel like an older Tool song. But then again, like, everybody in the band is that much older. Like, Danny Carey, the drummer, is, like, 60 years old now.
Holy shit. He can't drum for that long anymore.
Yeah.
They probably had to wait for him to work out for, like, 2 years to get back into, like, shape to do the songs.
Well, in the meantime, while Maynard was off doing Christopher and Perfect Circle stuff, he was, like, actually, he had a little side band that's an instrumental band called Volto.
Uh-huh.
And all their songs are relatively long in length, too. So, like, 6 to 10 minute long song, so he's been kept in game shape.
That's good.
But and he's actually looks pretty good for being 60 years old. When I read he was 60, I was like, shit, dude, like
he looks better
he looks
than
in better
you.
Shape. Yeah, and not even close. but the song is a little mellow, and I think, like I said, they've all probably mellowed with age, you know. And even Maynard kind of talked about one of the issues with coming out with a new Tool album is that he's not as angry as he used to be.
Mm, that's fair.
You know, like...
can't stay off my grass, damn it! This wine got sour and exploded! I don't know what else he relates to besides sour wines and kids stepping on his grass.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Which is why he's friends with Joe Rogan, and which is why, like, he's been on Joe Rogan Experience, like, 2 or 3 times.
Mm. That's probably always an easy episode for Joe. What are you doing? Goes off on random tangents.
Yeah, he's an odd duck, but he's our odd duck.
He's okay.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to the new album. I guess the new album for the physical packaging is going to be $45.
Holy shit, why is that?
Because, like, you know, with their one album, I can't remember the name of it, but they, like, kind of went all out with the packaging where they had these, like, weird lenses on it, and you, like, go through the album art, and you would see different images.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So this one, they've upped the game. They've put, like, a 4-inch rechargeable LCD screen and a speaker on it so that you could watch, I guess, pre-programmed videos that they have in the song on the album.
That seems it seems pretty ridiculous.
Yes, and then so you also get the album, and then you get a downloadable thumb drive or something like that that's 10 minutes longer than the album.
Jeez.
So there's like 10 more minutes of either songs or silence or, I don't know, porn.
The sounds of silence.
Yes. So, yeah, I can't wait. I'm gonna have to go pre-order it from the Mad Platter. Support your local record shop.
You're going to call off, too? Go pick it up?
Nah, because they don't open until like 10 a.m. anyway, so I don't get off work. I can wait an hour.
That's a waste of call off.
Yeah. It was even worse last week. I actually wasted a call off day because I was actually sick.
Mm.
But
you're like, damn it! Finally, I'm sick and I have to actually use time off.
Yeah, I don't get to like call off because I'm doing something fun.
Fair enough.
Speaking of fun things, Sean, you told me to add something to the list called The Witch Files, and I figured you were more of a weeb than you were, because as soon as you sent me the text, I went to VRV to see what this anime was about, Sean.
The Witch Files?
Yes.
Do you know what The Witch Files is not an anime? Were you confused when you were looking, can't find it?
I looked on VRV, and I was like, well, maybe it's on Netflix. then I realized I'm not going to like look around to see what this fucking weeb is watching. So then I just went straight to the Googles and typed in the words The Witch Files and saw it was a movie and then gave up.
I don't know how I feel about this, but I'll take it. Oh man. So I was sitting on the couch minding my own business when a movie came on from Netflix called The Witch Files. And if you don't really watch that much Netflix, there's a lot of, like, B movies on there, especially on the horror genre. So if you love, like, terrible movies and that are kind of supposed to be scary, like, Netflix has you covered. I don't know if Hulu is as good, but Netflix, very on this piece. So...
Yeah, thanks to Netflix, I got to watch a movie where these NASA astronauts discovered a secret hidden Nazi base on the moon. Right. Like, basically, as World War II was winding down, they launched a bunch of Nazi scientists, and they built a base on the moon.
On the dark
side. Yes. And then I watched another movie called Rubber about a tire that comes to life and kills people with its mind.
See, how could you... And then, what, Sharknado was on Netflix, too?
I don't watch that crap.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's the shit you get off Netflix.
No, that was sci-fi. CPFA.
Was it? Oh, my bad. My bad.
It's not sci-fi anymore. I went CP. S-Y-F-Y.
CP?
CP.
Everybody CP.
Anyways, Sean.
Anyways, back to the point. So, I was watching, the movie came on. And I just decided to watch it because it was like, you know, it's like Blair Witch style, where like the film style is always like somebody is like recording it. It's not like a film. It's like a recording of the what's going on. And so, and you know, long story short, because I don't know if anybody's going to really watch it, is there's like five girls that become like... that become witches. Like, you have the one goth girl that kind of tells them what to do.
So is it like a poor man's version of that one movie that was based in San Francisco with all, like, the... I had the movie and then I lost it. You know what I'm talking about, Sean?
Nope.
The Craft.
I didn't see The Craft.
Oh. So you should have watched The Craft instead. It's much better. Hotter chicks, probably.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. The girls were decently cute in this one. So, I'm like checking my phone to see if, like, the feds are calling me.
Or are they underage?
I don't know. They're supposed to be in high school, but you know how sometimes, like, you know, they're technically... They usually get like, girls that look younger, but they're technically... They are actually in real life older than that.
Right. So... One of the girls in The Charm and The Craft was Robin Tunney.
I don't know who that is.
She was like in Empire Records and The Mentalists. Mm. Super cute.
Mm.
Nev Campbell was one of them.
I don't know.
And Christine Taylor is another one who's married. She's married to, what's his name? Ben Stiller, who was, she was in Dodgeball, and she played Marsha Brady in the remake of the Brady movie, Brady Bunch movies.
I have no idea.
I didn't think you would. I was telling you. I was mostly just talking to your parents.
Are you just trying to confuse me more, or do you want me to do the movie reveal? I'm just trying to figure out what we're doing here.
Both.
All right, back to the story. Five high school girls, now five witches. You know, they start doing powers, getting stuff to go their way. You know, they're thinking everything's cool and there's no consequences. But, Daniel, there's always consequences. It's the rule of, I forget what
that... Consequences?
No, not that one. Of equivalent exchange.
Like there's bad things that make you less thirsty?
It's the rule of equivalent exchange, I believe.
Okay.
So basically, four of the girls start noticing, like, they have bad stuff happening. Like, one is losing her eyesight. One is starting to get, like, moles and shit all over her face. One girl can't, like, hear. One girl loses, like, her ability, because she's, like, the sports girl, so she's, like, starting to, like, lose, functions in her knee, and she's like basically crippled. And then like another girl starts like losing like teeth, and her jaw starts getting messed up. So, and then like the goth girl is like, oh yeah, I have stuff going on inside me, but nothing any physical. And you find like they all start fighting, and people are picking sides. And then you come to realize like some crazy old lady that keeps like homeless girl that keeps grabbing them is like a witch that went through the same thing like 19 years ago. And then boom, you find out like the goth girl is some really crazy old lady from like that's hundreds of years old that comes back every 19 years and shit. Like it ended up being like kind of predictable. And like you first thought it was this one girl, and then you find out you're like, oh damn, it was the goth girl. Should have known. Anyways, you move on. And then overall for like a B movie was actually pretty good. Like there is some like the ending was like not as fantastic as it could have been. It was like kind of like cheap how they finally like beat the goth girl. But overall, though, for like a B movie, it was decent.
One of the podcasts that I was fortunate enough to guest on, The Geek Offensive,
mm-hmm.
He's kind of like breaking down his show where he has different week is like a different segment. And one of the segments he does is a one called Sincere Garbage. Where it's basically like bad movies, but they actually put legit effort into making it. Would this fall under that category of being sincere garbage?
I just don't think it was
like one of the movies on there. Like the first one they did was The Room.
I didn't see The Room.
Okay, I haven't seen either, but I'm at least aware of the cultural phenomenon behind The Room.
Is it an anime or is it beer, Danny? Like, that's my life right now. Like, I don't have a lot of options on what I'm doing right now, alright?
Or is it involve the Packers?
I'm barely keeping up with the Packers at this point.
So, since I brought it up in not very smooth with segues.
Yes.
Apparently, Antonio Brown is the most Raiders thing to ever happen to the Raiders for a few years, and they've had quite a few very Raiders things happening.
I know.
Raiders spent all this money, signed quite possibly the best, one of the best wide receivers as a free agent, and he went to France to do cryogenic therapy, and didn't wear the proper footwear, so he basically got frostbite on his feet. Perfect. And then, what's that?
I said perfect.
And then he followed that up by reacting to a rule change for the helmets they have to wear that he's known about for a while by saying that if the league's going to force him to wear the new helmet that's supposed to be safer, that he's just going to retire and never play football again.
Somebody said that if he did that, he would lose $30 million of the guaranteed money he was supposed to get.
Oh, yeah, he would lose a ton of money. Yeah. I'm surprised he wouldn't have to lose it all because he didn't even play one game for him. Or I don't even think he did one practice with them. And they signed him to like $54 million, so
yeah, that sucks. Yay.
For the Raiders, not for Antonio Brown.
Ooh, dead money.
So, anyways, would you recommend watching this movie, Sean?
I mean, if you're looking for a random, like, stupid horror movie, I would say it would be worth watching, but I don't know if you really would go out of your way to watch it.
Right.
And it's a very casual watch.
Yeah, one of the things people kind of complain about with Netflix is, like, it's very hard to find hidden movies. Like, they only kind of want you to watch what the algorithm tells you to.
True. You just got to go to the certain section or, like, all movies and just do your own search.
Right, because everyone's like, well, I didn't even know that movie was on Netflix because I only saw what was on the screen. And it's like, don't be lazy, man. You know they have more movies than that.
I feel like their anime section has gotten smaller, though.
It probably has, because just like everything else being taken away from Netflix, I'm sure Crunchyroll is probably pulling stuff off because of their own app. Between just the plain Crunchyroll or BRB.
True, and I think Amazon and Netflix are, like, grabbing and doing exclusive anime, so I think that's probably put on pressure, you know what I mean? Where everybody used to stream it, and now, like, people are starting, like, Netflix and Amazon are grabbing, like, exclusives, and I think that's probably hurting the relationship on making shared content. Because, I mean, I don't blame BRV, like, well, fuck that noise, like, you can't have our shit then. You're gonna do exclusives.
Like, we are literally owned by Crunchyroll, and almost everything is made by Crunchyroll, so if you want to be dicks and not share with us, then we'll take our ball and go home too.
Exactly.
But, so I watched a movie, Sean.
What'd you watch, bro? Did you have popcorn? Did you eat a hot dog? I don't know.
No, but I did. I did watch it on DVD through Netflix.
Yeah, you fucking did.
I know how much that angers you, and it makes me smile. So I watched the Jack Black movie, The House with the Clock in Its Walls.
That one actually seemed pretty interesting.
You know, it was one of those things where I wasn't like super excited to watch it, like, which is why we didn't see it in theaters. You know, my wife wanted to watch it in theaters. I'm like, yeah, we'll just wait till it comes out on DVD. But if I had known one fact, you know, if I had not pulled a Sean and done even the slightest bit of research,
oh, here we go.
I would have noticed that the movie was in fact directed by Eli Roth. Crickets.
Is that one of the old Superman people?
No.
God damn it. I knew Roth was. Something Roth was. So who's Eli Roth?
He is the director that basically Quentin Tarantino took under his little wing, mm-hmm. and helped out. He's in, like, Inglourious Basterds as an actor, but he's mostly known for, like, the torture porn movies.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, he did Cabin Fever, and he did Hostel.
Oh, nice. This seems a little extreme for him. What a drastic move.
Yes. And so we're, like, watching this movie, and it kind of, like, the house is, like, the kids, basically his parents die, and Jack Black is his uncle, picks him up at the airport, the train station, mm-hmm. and they're going back to the house, and there's kind of stuff going on in there, and my wife's like, is this going to be scary? And I'm like, it's a kid's movie. How scary can it be? And then Eli Roth's name pops up, and I'm like, yeah, there's probably going to be some scary moments here.
He scared those kids, all right.
And it's not like torture porn where, like, that chick from Princess Diaries who's in the second hostel is, like, being hung by her ankles over, like, a hot tub naked while, like, some lady, like, cuts her up and basically lets her bleed out into the hot tub so that she can bathe in the blood of a virgin.
That's a little gross.
Yes. So, and it's Eli Roth. Torture porn. With actual porn, because the chick's naked. So it's torture porn.
Fair enough.
That would be the. But, and then Cate Blanchett is in it as well.
Gotcha.
Do you know who she is?
It sounds familiar.
She's a British actress, and she's been around forever. She's one of those where she, like, disappears into the role, like, you don't recognize her from one movie to the next. Like, she was in the movie Red with Bruce Willis and Morgan Freeman and John Malkovich.
I know that movie. I never saw the second one, but I saw the first one.
Yeah, the second one wasn't quite as good as the first one, but that's only because nobody knew what to expect out of the first one, and it was rather amazing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, it, It's like, once you know what something's going to taste like, it'll never taste the same again. Or, you know, they talk about once you, you know, people get addicted to heroin because that first high is the best, and then they're spent the rest of their lives chasing the dragon. But she was also, she played Hela in Thor Dark World.
Gotcha.
Or Ragnarok, whichever one it was that she was in. I think it was Ragnarok. Yes. And then she also played, and, I had another movie. Oh, she was the crazy Russian lady in the Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Mm, gotcha.
So you see what I'm saying, where she disappears into her roles? And can't
deal
with her?
Yeah.
So basically, Zach Black is a warlock, and she's a witch, and the house they live in was owned by this a super powerful warlock, and him and Jack Black were friends and would go do magic shows throughout the country.
Yes.
And something happened, and he died. And he put a clock in the walls of the house, and Jack Black's trying to find it. They try to teach his nephew to be a warlock, and he does some kid shit, like trying to impress his friends and stuff. It was a really good movie. Normally, I'm not a big fan of Jack Black movies where he's the lead.
Yeah.
Because same thing with Will Ferrell. Like, I can only take so much of them being themselves.
They make very interesting side characters.
Yes. Like, if they're intense, it's like anything that's intense. You can't take that much intensity in long bursts. It's concentrated, so you need it like in small shots.
Yeah.
But he's actually really good in this movie.
That's good.
More toned down. He plays the role really well. There's moments where he's Jack Black, but not at his Jack Blackiest.
Yeah.
But if it ever does pop up on streaming, I would highly recommend it, Sean.
Okay.
Oh, man, so last week, I didn't think we'd have anything necessarily to talk about this week, so I suggested let's simultaneous watch an anime, Sean.
Let's watch a painful anime that just that you struggles.
I said let's watch an anime, and you recommended Watamote. Since I'm not popular, I've decided it's your guys' fault.
It was recommended by a guy from my my clan, and I'm not really happy about this decision.
Wait. You are talking about Destiny, right?
Yes, my Destiny clan.
Well, you're from Ohio. You have to distinguish.
Destiny clan. Destiny.
Okay. Just making sure it was with a C and not a K.
It's some Mexican in L.A. that's not named Gecko.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wait, you listen to Gecko? Because he's the worst.
I don't try to listen to Gecko anymore on recommendations. I've been burned too much, but I'm going to have to talk to Quatros about this one, because this one, like, it's you know, the story is about a girl that believes that as soon as she gets to high school, she's going to instantly be popular, and she's not instantly popular at all. She's doing the same thing over and over. She goes, like, every episode is, like, random, like, awkward encounters with different people and different things. Episode 4 with, like, the dating sim and, like, the hand vibrator thing is, like, the funniest part of the whole anime. But after that, like, there's nothing else for, like, the anime to, like, to be solid about.
Right. I mean, I will say two things about this anime. I will give it solid points for the sibling relationship.
Oh my god, that was always fantastic too, yeah.
Like, they hated each other and did not want to have sex with each other, which for an anime is, like, shocking. And the other thing I will say about this anime is I have never felt more personally attacked by anything in my entire life, Sean.
Why were you attacked?
Just like, when she would, like the teacher would, like say goodbye at the end of the day, and she wouldn't know what to say, so she would just, like, mutter something and, like, run off. I'm like, how did they know that was me in school, man? Like, I just thought this, and I'm like, that's how I would react. Like, basically, I would complain that, like, I would have no friends, just sit in the back corner, and then go home and masturbate to porn. Like, that was my high school life. Like, that was my show, but as told through the lives of a lady. Like, there was one episode where she didn't know what to wear, so she called her friend that they had from junior high, and they had to go to separate high schools. And she's like, oh, man, she's as much of a loser as me, and then the friend shows up, and the friend had got hot.
Yeah, exactly. So she was all bummed out.
Yes, and so she was like trying to figure out what she should like wear and buy, but like being like weird and creepy about it.
Yeah.
What are you wearing right now?
That there, like all those like interactions were funny, but like she never like grew as a character, and like you never like even saw her like to get like either one just be comfortable with who she was, and then like had like a nice life, or like changed and grew and then had like started to work out. Like that's I think the biggest part is I just felt like it didn't really have a conclusion.
Well, I mean, to me it was very much more like a Coen Brothers movie where like people kind of complain that it's like it, you know, like Raising Arizona is like one of their first movies where basically the movie starts and you're already kind of in the middle of the story, and anything that's back information that you need to know, they'll either tell through flashbacks or conversations, but for the most part, whatever happened before is inconsequential. Like in Raising Arizona, Nicolas Cage's character was in jail. You don't need to know why he was in jail, really. You just need to know that he was in jail, and somehow it involved John Goodman's character, and I can't remember who the sidekick was. Yeah. I want to say Steve Buscemi, but I can't remember. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't need to know what happened in the past other than those two felt they were wronged by Nicolas Cage's character, right?
Yeah.
And so then they kidnap the baby and all hijinks ensue, and at the end they return the baby and everyone's happy. And it's like, well, what happened here? What happened? And it's like, those stories don't matter. All that matters, the story was about the baby, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like this movie, if it was about a guy, like this guy is basically like a future incel, but it was a lady. So I guess lady incel?
Yeah.
So people don't always need to grow. I think that was the point of this, was that she was her own worst enemy, holding herself down.
Yeah, but from a storytelling perspective, like, it led to nowhere. Like, and that's what I didn't like about it. Like, the character, like, never resolved, like, her issue or anything, which was kind of annoying.
Right. And that's why I brought up the Coen Brothers movies, is because that's, like, the biggest complaint about their movies, is that the story doesn't end. It just, like, there's no wrap and to the story, the movie just ends.
Yeah.
And, like, people don't always learn lessons. They just finish the movie.
I guess that makes sense. I guess that's just not my cup of tea, then.
No. I finished it, and I had a hard time watching it because there were moments where, like, and not a lot, but there were moments here and there where I'm just like, oh, fuck, I remember that happening to me.
It probably had, like, I think everybody probably could relate to some awkward moment of their high school life, like, that she did, like, in one of the episodes. I definitely feel like that's definitely, like, a piece of the puzzle, though. Like, I think at some point, like, everybody's did something stupid and awkward, and she has done them all for you.
Right. Right, and I guess the big thing is how much you dwell on it versus get over it.
True.
But yeah, the amount of just animosity between her and her brother was amazing. Like, he hated her more than he hated anybody.
Yeah, he got irritated with her so much. And it was kind of funny because, like, he was, like, successful in having friends and star and stuff. Like, but, like, he always, like, always looked up to her when, like, they were growing up.
Yeah, they would have, like, here and there sprinkled throughout, they would have something come up about when they were kids. And there was one where it's like, I want to marry you when we get older. And she's like, you can't marry me, I'm your sister. And he saw the mom watching the videotape with that, and he was like, what is this? Why are you watching this? Burn it.
Exactly.
Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd recommend watching it. It wasn't necessarily that great. But I also don't think I wasted my time watching it either.
I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. I don't think it's worth the 12 episodes and the time to do it. There's other stuff to watch.
I mean, like, if you're out of anime and you're like, it's like the picking teams in high school sports and you're only down to the last couple nerds because you've literally watched everything else, then maybe watch this. But yeah, there's better options.
Exactly.
Speaking of disappointments and things that people shouldn't be watching, Sean, in Germany, they had a convention for farming. Right? And
like real farmers and stuff?
Yes. Like anime convention, but for farmers. So they actually had like you know, probably like, I mean, well, they have like RV expos and stuff, so I'm sure they probably had like panels on like crops and different like exhibitors of selling like tractors and shit like that. I mean, it's not a complete, I guess for somebody that lives in the city, it seems like something that would be unnecessary. But if you live in like farming or rural areas, I'm sure they have those in the U.S. too, like somewhere in like the Midwest. But everybody's too busy flying over those states to pay attention.
or just purposely ignoring it.
Yes. And so they decided at this farming convention that they wanted to get on the esports train, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And they had competitive farming simulator.
Wow, I don't even know what to say about that. Competitive farming simulator?
Yes, I mean, it is an actual game. Farm.
I know it is, but it's just ridiculous. Like, who's playing this game?
Farmers, apparently.
They get done with their work, and so they go inside to go work on their...
Right. Or maybe, like, people that grew up on a farm, but they had to sell their farm, and they live in a city now, and so they just want to, like, relive the glory days of their youth. But the funny thing is, so basically, like, there was multiple, like, events at the and one of them was hay baling and stacking.
Gotcha.
And there's a clip I heard of, like, the announcers, and I guess one of the guys, his baler, like, fell into a ravine. And they were like, oh, no, this is disastrous. Like, they were, like, getting into it, like, as much as, like, anybody, like, if you ever watched, like, the Overwatch League, how they're shoutcasters, as they're called, get a little too into the game.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is on the podcast I was listening to that kind of talks about esports, one of the guys on there is a huge fighting game fan, right?
Yeah.
And he always complains that the fighting game tournaments, like, the prize pool is super low. Like, recently they just had the Fortnite tournament where, like, the grand prize winner of just one of the three tournaments was a 16-year-old kid that won $3 million.
Yeah.
Usually, like, the whole entire prize pool for some fighting tournaments is only, like, 50K.
Wow.
Right. So, like, if you don't finish in the top 10, like, basically you're losing money to go.
That sucks.
And so the top prize of this was like $350,000 in like equipment and cash and stuff and gaming stuff.
Mm.
And so he was pretty bitter, but it's just pretty funny. And he was like, who would even play this and this? And it's like, well, I mean, I guess it makes sense that it's at a farming convention. It wasn't like just some random event.
Yeah. It wasn't being covered. It wasn't being covered by ESPN8, the Ocho.
The Ocho, which they brought back. That's an annual thing they bring back every year. Did you watch any of the Ocho?
No, I saw it was coming back though.
I saw on Reddit they posted some highlight clips from the electrician event.
The electrician event.
Yes, basically it was like a competition of electricians, and basically it was just like one guy doing his run, like, coupling wires and cutting wires and stripping wires and attaching wires.
Wow.
You know, electrician stuff.
I guess so, bud. I guess so.
No, I can't. I could have swore that was from Anchorman, but it might have been Dodgeball. I can't remember which shitty movie, or maybe it was both it was mentioned in, but which shitty movie brought us the Ocho?
It was Dodgeball.
Was it Dodgeball?
Okay, it was Anchorman. It was the Dodgeball.
Okay. But yeah, so thanks to that shitty movie. starring the actress that was in that witch movie, The Craft, that I mentioned. Full circle.
Oh, that's pretty impressive.
You like that one?
Yeah. Who would have known the show would have full circled? Damn, look at us go.
On Ben Stiller's wife.
Exactly.
Or ex now. I think they're divorced now, but either way.
Oh, boy. Way to bring it down.
Speaking of bringing it down, Sean, Activision lied to us. Dun, dun, dun!
What a shocking development this is.
If we had a professional soundboard, we could have done, like, the sad trombone sound. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
I think that was good enough.
That's enough?
Close
enough?
Yeah.
Okay. So, at E3, during their presentation, they were presenting the game... like Crash Bandicoot Racing All-Stars or whatever it's called.
Yes.
They said, to paraphrase and to mix in a quote of George Bush, read my lips, no microtransactions.
Yes.
So the game is like either shortly to be released or like right before it released, they came out and said, oh, and by the way, there's microtransactions.
And it was like a sneeze. It was like, microtransaction will be in the game. What was that? I sneezed, bro. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. So basically, like you can buy like different cars and and racers and stuff that aren't DLC or earned.
Wow.
So yeah. Lies.
Lies.
Lies. Lies.
Lies. Lies. Lies. Yeah.
So I don't know. Like I don't know what's a bigger thing. Like the fact that the internet has the gall to be shocked by this news. Or, like, the amount of anger coming out of everybody, because I didn't really think that many people cared about Crash Bandicoot.
I didn't realize anybody cared enough. I played, like, the original game way back in the day, but, like, I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I don't know why they released that, but okay. Like, all they did was, like, rehash all the games out. Like, it's not like they spent time or money, like, redeveloping it or anything.
You mean, like, Madden or... Call of Duty?
Exactly.
Or wrestling games?
Yeah. Like, I just can't believe, like, it took all that, too much effort to, like, redo the game for PS4.
Right. that they needed to add the microtrans?
Exactly. Like, all the content was already built.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. It's just funny. Like I said, I'm more shocked at the number of people that are mad, not at the fake outrage of shock that people are putting on because they knew they should have known it was coming.
Seriously.
But there is something that people are a little more outraged about, or at least the ladies in the group.
Oh, the single ladies. Oh, the single ladies.
And probably some of the engaged or married or in a relationship ladies too.
Okay.
All the ladies, ladies. All the ladies, ladies. But there's this Twitch streamer. She, I don't know if she still is, but at some point in her life was a model.
Okay.
And she has one of the lifestyle Twitch channels where it's basically just Twitch chats to where, like, she hangs out and, like, talks to the people that are watching the channel. And on one particular episode, she had one of her model friends on, and they both kind of talked about their experience of the tryout process of being in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And as they were conversing, her daughter, her baby, who they say is one, I don't know, or like, and I've heard different numbers of ages, but I guess the age is irrelevant to the conversation.
Yes.
But her daughter got fussy, and she decided to feed the baby breastfully on the live stream.
Like, was it like she stepped off the screen and then whipped it out, put a blanket on, and then, like, came back into the screen, or...?
I'm gonna admit I did as much research as you did on the actual video.
On the boob coming out?
Right. But everything that I saw said that you saw no boob. Like, you saw no nipple. There was no, as Twitch put it when they, made the new rules, no female presenting nipple. You just saw the back of the baby's head, basically. But she got her account pulled off Twitch.
Wait. That doesn't make sense. Like, if she followed the rule, then why did she get it banned? Like, why did she get pulled?
Because there was, like, I guess enough people complained, and then they felt that there was enough, I guess, potential risk of nip slip, even though it didn't happen. Like, they felt that she was, like, skirting the rules of female presenting nipples by hiding it behind a baby's head.
I assume there was no blanket, like, covering the...
I didn't see one in the screenshot, no, in one of the articles I read.
I mean, I could see, like, what they're talking about, you know, the baby has to, like, burp up and whatnot, but, I mean, I don't think, like, that doesn't seem like a very serious offense. Like, I know it's, like, one of those weird, like, black and white rules where it doesn't matter why the nipple's being shown. Like, a nipple's a nipple is a nipple. So, like, right. I could see why they would want to take action if she wasn't, like, over-prepared for it. But that seems to be more of, like, hey, that's a technical thing. And, like, she could have probably been a little bit more understanding and probably just at least had it covered with a blanket. Like, I don't think, if she was, like, covered and there was going to be no, like, chance of it, like, I don't see why she couldn't have done that on the stream, like, to be honest.
Right, and the big problem is this Twitch is very, like, they don't seem to follow a pattern when they come to, like, doling out punishments.
Isn't Twitch, like, owned by YouTube?
No, Amazon.
Oh.
Gotcha. So that's why, like, if you have Amazon Prime, you get a free monthly, subscription that you can use on any Twitch channel as part of your Prime benefits.
Oh, nice. I did not know that.
I just found out about that. Actually, I've known about it for about a year now, but through another podcast, they mentioned that. It's like, hey, if you're listening and you have Amazon Prime, you know, use your subscribe on us.
True.
So, nice. Because they, like, the way they do their podcast is, like, it's a Final Fantasy 14 one, so they live stream it through Twitch and then record it and then put the recording up on the podcast networks.
Oh, gotcha.
So you can watch them record it live, like, every other Saturday night in the game through Twitch with their avatars, their characters, kind of just sitting around a, like, campfire basically talking.
Oh, nice.
Yes. But if they were, I guess, if they're more consistent, that's what I was looking for, consistent in their punishment, it wouldn't be probably that big of a deal. And B, if they hadn't just made Dr. Disrespect's lifetime ban of, like, illegally filming in a bathroom only a 2-week ban.
True. There's definitely inconsistencies in the punishment, it sounds like.
Right, and as much as, you know, Reddit and the rest of, like, I guess, the quote-unquote gaming dudes, like our friend from the Quartering, Jeremy, complains about the boob streamers or the Twitch spots, as they also call them, like, getting away with, like, skirting, like, the rules of, like, nudity or whatever, or, like, basically, like, according to them, conning innocent young men to giving them money.
Oh my god. I don't even want to hear that shit. If you're fucking stupid enough to pay somebody over the internet money, then it's your own damn fault. Like, you need to fucking check yourself.
Yeah, my wife has a friend, they're the same age, and she has a daughter that's going to turn 13, and she was living with this guy for a little while. The guy was, like, younger than her, but still in his 20s.
Yeah.
And they ended up having the kid together, and the guy's mom is still mad at my wife's friend, basically saying that my son was a good boy, and she basically saying that she raped him, and that's how she got pregnant.
Wow.
And it's like, your son was in his 20s. He was living with her. That wasn't the first and only time they had sex. Get over yourself. Like, you can claim your kid is innocent, but he's living with a woman. He's not qualified to be a priest anymore, basically.
Yeah. That's his own fault. Danny, this is like a perfect segue into a crazy conversation, but we're going to derail this shit. So,
do it.
I recently subscribed to r/ Girls of Cosplay. I found people would cross post into, like, r/gaming and r/pics different cosplays, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. So I subscribed to the subreddit, like, expecting, like, just high class cosplays, which was right. Foolish of myself to think that this would happen.
Well, that's probably why one or two here and there would, like, leak onto the front page.
Exactly.
Because, like, I saw one from either LOL character or a WoW character, I can't remember, but, like, my wife was like, wow, that's a really well-made costume. She's almost naked.
No, and so this goes into the, this is starting to go into, so when you subscribe to the subreddit, though, there's, like, hey, look, I'm cosplaying this girl, and here's a picture of me with my cosplay, and this is the character if she was in her underwear, and you're just like, okay, like, you're basically just in bras and panties with, like, in the same wig and stuff. I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, and I was like, I have a habit of, like, looking at random comments to see what was being said. And so I decided to follow a rabbit hole, Danny. So usually the girl has, like, if a girl is really smart from a business sense, every time she is posting her stuff, she's laying out her information. So it's like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And
don't forget that. Don't forget those Patreons.
Patreons. I clicked on a Patreon to see, like, okay, how much money are people, like, presenting? Have you been down this rabbit hole yet?
No, but I also know there's a subreddit in the unsafe for work category called Patreon Leaks.
Ooh, that might be interesting.
So it's basically those girls, the cosplay girls, their Patreon photos that people pay for, but they still upload them to Reddit.
Ooh, that's dangerous. I might have to look at that. Anyways.
You're like, so, the show's over. See you next week. Bye.
So I was looking through the Patreon, and I was seeing, like, you know, because they always talk about levels. So, like, basically, if you don't know what Patreon is basically you could support a person, a company, or an entity and give
podcast.
Them...
Well, I'm not saying us. I'm just saying a lot of podcasts do that actually have listeners beyond... Like we said, if we had a podcast, we would just have to call it Sean's Allowance, because I think if anybody would give us money, it'd be your mom or dad. Not my parents. Only your parents.
Fair enough. So you could give money to, like, you could donate money to, like, a group, and it's supposed to be, like, kind of like a monthly commitment where you're going to donate X amount of money every month. So instead of it being like a Kickstarter where you donate once and you get prizes, you get like prizes every month. So I was like looking, and so like you get like exclusive, like if you look at the beginning tiers, it's like, oh, you get to see like photos of the cosplay like before. And I was like, okay, that seems reasonable. And then it's like,
you get the behind the scenes.
You get like a few, you go up and then you get print, you get physical prints sent to you. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's cool. You get like random like photos and posters of a girl doing cosplay, like, all right, whatever. I've seen weirder shit on the internet.
Well, when they have like the cosplayers at conventions, like Long Beach is one of the big ones where they should go to. All they're doing is with those Patreon type prints, selling them probably for more money than you would if you got them through the Patreon, but they're signing them and like pretending to want to talk to you.
Exactly. So I'm starting to go up the rabbit hole, and now it's starting to get into, now you get the bonus cosplay.
Ludes.
And the ludes. So now we're starting, and we're like at $50, mind you. So this is like, you donate, you're paying $50 a month to somebody over the internet, and you're getting like special photos just sent to you and a couple others that, you know, distribute to this amount. At $100, Danny, $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year, if you don't know math, Danny. You are giving money to a girl. $1,200 a year. She is sending you exclusive, only to you, lewd videos, handwritten letters. You could ask her what cosplay you want her to do for you twice a year, and she'll make a cosplay and do the cosplay and do the photo shoot for you exclusively. Now, I had to like look through a couple of girls, but this seems to be like a very similar ballpark. Some girls do different things. I was like, dude, what is going on? Well, I'm like, man, like, why even go? You don't even have to go to the strip club at this point. Like, you're going to get all this like crazy exclusive stuff. It's like, it's mind-blowing, probably, in the long run. It's just mind-blowing. Dude, Danny, $100 a month.
I know. No. And here's the thing, like, people will, like, say that those girls are taking advantage of the men and their loneliness or whatever. And it's like, no, man, like, they're providing a service. They're doing God's work, is what I say. Like, if you're in a position in your life where, like, you know, you either have that much of a crush on that girl or... You just need human contact of some kind that much. I mean, they're doing God's work. Like, there's a podcast I listen to. There's a couple rappers. Actually, two of them on the show we saw live. Sean, when they opened for the MC Chris show.
Yeah.
One of them was Mega Ran.
Yep.
And then the other one is Teak Hall, and he did the Mr. T song. He just did, at that point, he only had one song.
Yeah.
But they do, there's like four guys, and they do a wrestling podcast called Matt Mania.
Yeah.
And their $100 Patreon level is you get to join their group chat.
That's ridiculous.
So yes. So, you know, for people, it's like, you know, for $100, you're just getting like boobs that you can look at for free on the internet. And it's like, well, you can't really see these boobs. You can see boobs, but not these ones.
Yes.
And if you really want to see these boobs, is it worth... I mean, money's a relative concept, right? Like...
Yeah, it's...
Somebody might buy something and they might think it's worth it, and somebody else will think it's a complete waste of money. Like, going to Disneyland is correct. A perfect example.
Oh, that is a very good example of where people think it's, like, a well money spent, and then, like, you know, other people are like, no, that's a terrible waste of money. Why would you spend hundreds of dollars to go... get tickets, eat, and just be crowded by screaming, like, kids all day.
Yes. So, I don't know. Like, I don't understand, like, the anger. I could understand, like maybe the whole, like, you know what? You do you. I would never pay that.
Yeah, like, I don't even, like, I don't... It's just so weird. Like, from, like, your... like, anything Patreon. Like, even donating $1. I mean, this is just where I'm personally thinking of donating. Like I'm going to give you, like, $1 a month for, like, some random prizes?
Well, like, another podcast I listen to, it's a beer one, and it's $1 an episode.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's like $4 a month. And at the end of the year, they send you a glass. As a thank you for being subscribed to their Patreon.
Gotcha.
That has, like, their logo on it.
Hmm.
And you can also, like, go into the upper levels, and I can't remember how much it is, but it's not that much more, but you, in addition to the new glass, you will also be sent all the previous glasses that they still have available with their logos on it. And they're actually really nice glasses from what I've seen.
Nice. That's not too bad.
No, I mean, it's all... relative of the value of what you put that value on the dollar on, right?
No, you're absolutely correct. That is definitely, at the end of the day, what it comes down to.
But, yeah, I would, you know, again, I would just go on Reddit, like, not even bother subscribing to Reddit. That's how much I care about, and just go look at the Patreon leaks subreddit.
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, on some of them, you could join, like, exclusive Discord chats to talk with this girl. And there's, like, Snapchats where, you know, like, at the $50, $30, $75, like, you get to join, like, an exclusive Snapchat, like, group where you get, like, special Snapchats. Like, it's just mind-boggling. I mean, bravo. Like, round of applause for... these girls that are running, like, this business, because, like, they're definitely, like, you know, they're putting in a lot of work on the cosplay front and, like, you know, keeping up with all these prizes and stuff to make the money, but, like, at the end of the day, like, it's just mind-blowing, like, like, to think that people are giving, like, people, these cosplay girls, like, $100 a month.
Right, and, you know, buying the materials and stuff and making is not cheap, and if you're making that many costumes, you probably don't have time to have, like, a real job.
Yeah, and you could definitely see where, like, there's... I was, like, going through, and I saw a couple, like, cosplay... There was, like, a couple, so, like... And they didn't go... Like, the money didn't go that high, but they had, like, informative videos, like, that they... Like, hey, you know, your money is going towards this to let us buy material, buy equipment to record, you know, in to create a learning video so other people get better at cosplaying. So, like, there's definitely, like, wholesome stuff. So it's not to think, like, Patreon is just used for girls to show boobs to guys and get money. There's definitely, like, other aspects of it as well.
Right, and on the other side of that coin, too, from the guy's point of view, not every guy that donates money to a cosplay girl is some, like, weird, creepy, you know, incel neckbeard. I'm sure everybody has their reasons, but I'm sure there's people in healthy relationships, but they're just maybe like attracted to this, like maybe they have like a fake crush and, or they like really like her work.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I can't even see giving $100 to some random girl online, let alone trying to justify it to my wife.
She'll have a justification for divorce.
Well, I don't know about that, but definitely counseling. Maybe have a discussion with some people. Neutral party discussions. But then again, you know, you never know. Maybe some wives are into it too, and they're, you know, getting the lewds.
Yeah, they are.
And using that as their marital aids, if you know what I mean. Winky face emoji. Hashtag.
Oh, man. Something like that.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so that was a fun derailment, Sean.
I'm glad I've derailed the show. You know what? Fuck the games. We're not talking about any more video games. We're ending this shit. If you want to know about Far Cry 5, you're going to have to wait till next episode. Because I don't give a shit. Because I'm tired of talking to Danny here, all right?
And I'm sure I agree with him. I'm tired of him hearing me.
I can't wait to ignore Danny while he talks about Gran Turismo 5, 6, 10, whatever it is at this point.
You mean Forza Horizon 4?
Whatever. Whatever car. Spoiler alert, you drive a car and race. Might as well not even review it. I spoiled the whole game.
Might as well not even review it. Spoiled it for everybody. Oh, man. All right, everybody. I guess that's the show. Sean's got to go look at ripped JP, like blurry images of half-naked cosplay girls at Reddit and tug one out.
I got to figure out where I'm donating $100. Where's my $100 going?
To the sperm bank.
It's going somewhere. Make sure you download the app Untappd to find different breweries and drinks that me and Danny are drinking. It's Untappd without an E at the end. You can follow Danny at
Sir Hoppyhead or Hoppyhead Productions.
And you can follow me at Dr. Doom 2828, DRDOOM 2828. Make sure you follow us on Podbean, Instagram, Stitcher, iTunes. Did I forget any other places?
Facebook,
Instagram. We're all over the place. We're like a bad itch everywhere.
Yes. We're like scabies.
Exactly. All right.
Make sure you give us some pity reviews. Go on Google Podcasts, review Apple Podcasts, iTunes before they officially get rid of it. Let us know what you think. Send Sean an email at send us an email. We got email, hoppyheadproductions@yahoo.com.
Daniel, check it, not me. I mean, I do too much work already.
You do. I check it every day optimistically, hoping that somebody has sent something, and then I get sad like a little puppy that nobody loves. It's like when you're a puppy at the shelter and you think and people walk in and you think you're gonna get adopted, and they walk right by your cage and get adopt the dog next to you.
God damn that fucking pug.
Or those commercials with that one washed up actress where they have the super sad song and all those dogs with the super, super big puppy eyes. They're like everybody cries during.
Everybody hurts sometimes.
So, all right, John. See you next week.
We'll see ya.